This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, well, you know what? I've got a basket of deplorables for you. Donald Trump and Mike Pence are defending their supporters, going after Hillary Clinton for calling values voters a basket of deplorables. Hot Air's Ed Morrissey joins me for that discussion a bit later here on Washington Watch. And have college sports become nothing more than progressive puppets? The NCAA announcing today they are pulling sporting events out of the state of North Carolina because, well, I'll let the governor of North Carolina tell us. Governor Pat McCrory will be with us a little bit later as our guest. And we'll also have our good friends, the Benham brothers, David and Jason, who were at the Values Voter Summit this past weekend. They're going to be here in just a few moments. We'll also hear from you. Many of you did not get a weigh in on Hillary Clinton putting you in a basket, that basket of deplorables. Well, we're going to talk about that. What concerns you about that? Well, hang on, because a little bit later we're going to open up the phone lines and you can tell us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest, our topics. You can also kind of keep up with the Values Bus, which was in North Carolina, but now it's headed to Ohio and Indiana and several other places. In fact, they're going to be in over 20 states in the next, 58 days? Is that right? Well, I don't know. Something like that before the election. So anyway, you can find all that at TonyPerkins.com. Go over to the Values Bus. And if you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right. Look, we've covered the fallout from North Carolina's Common Sense HB 2 bill, which simply allows businesses and other private entities to have whatever bathroom and locker policy they want. Okay, it doesn't prohibit them. It simply stops the government from punishing businesses or forcing them to designate the fact that or to require these private businesses to allow men to go in women's restrooms or locker rooms and so on and so forth. Now, the far left quickly began distorting the law. I know that comes as a surprise that they would be dishonest and disingenuous. I know, that does surprise you. Well, they then began to twist the arms of big business in now college sports. Just yesterday, the NCAA announced it was pulling out of North Carolina. In their statement, the organization claimed, quote, based on the NCAA's commitment to fairness and inclusion, the association will relocate all seven previously awarded championship events from North Carolina during the 2016-17 academic year, end quote. Really? Inclusion. Because the government there wanted to protect the safety and the constitutional rights of businesses and private entities not to be forced to adhere to President Obama's radical bathroom policy? Come on. The college sports has become nothing more than puppets for the progressive left. Well, join me now here to discuss the NCAA is our good friends David and Jason Benham, who are natives of North Carolina. Dave and Jason, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony, for having us. This is David speaking. I've got Jason sitting here with me. We're in the car headed to Greensboro to speak to 1,200 men to talk to them about this very thing. It's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. It's political peacocking is what it is. And you know what's interesting? Sorry, Tony, I just jumped right out of the gate. I could not wait to start talking. Well, here's what's interesting. The NCAA is removing their sex-segregated sports competitions, all of their championships, out of our state because we have sex-segregated bathrooms. What kind of hypocrisy is that?
Well, also,
if they really are. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I want to remind our listeners that the NCAA is also doing some of their sporting events in China. So you talk about hypocrisy. It's on full display here with the NCAA.
It's hypocrisy at its height. And by the way, Jason and I joined the basket of deplorables at the Values Voter Summit, and we had a chance to talk to a lot of leaders, and they said that North Carolina is a pivot state. It's very important in this election. And I was speaking with the governor this morning. He and I were going back and forth talking about what was happening with the NCAA. But what we mentioned at the Values Voter Summit last week when we were there is exactly what we're seeing here. The radical left utilizes a three-step plan to push their agenda. They frame the issue, facilitate the support network to push the issue, and then fracture all dissent. And what they've done is they've totally framed this issue as a discrimination issue, and it's not. It has nothing to do with that. The issue is not the issue. We had no cases of discrimination in our state anyway. The Alliance Defending Freedom and other legal defense funds came and did legal searches. We had none of this, so they create this problem that transgenders are feeling discriminated against in bathrooms. And so we came out with a statement and said, listen, law is supposed to be based on an objective standard for people's safety. Law is not supposed to be based on a subjective standard for people's comfort. And so now what they've done is they frame the issue that it's discriminatory, and now they facilitated the support network. So the NCAA is simply doing the radical sexual revolution's bidding. They are acting like a puppet for the radical revolution of the Human Rights Campaign and other organizations that are giving them their talking points. And they're taking out a half a dozen championship events, basically saying you will be forced to participate with this radical revolution. Businesses will be forced to participate in these messages and events that are against their deeply held conscience and their faith. This is not American at all.
Well, don't you guys find it, again, hypocritical that the places, for instance, the basketball All-Star game, one of them, I can't remember which one it is, but one of the games they're actually pulling out, and they're taking, this is the NBA, maybe, I don't know, I don't keep up with
it's
all that
the
sports.
NBA,
you guys are the sports guys. But they're going to New Orleans. Well, they're going to New Orleans. And they have the same policy that you have in North Carolina.
Time Warner Cable Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina, has the identical bathroom, the sex-segregated bathroom, that the arena in New Orleans has. And Louisiana has joined North Carolina and 19 or 20 other states in suing the Obama administration for this radical transgender bathroom edict. I mean, it's the height of hypocrisy, but here's the thing is what we said at the summit, and we continue to say it, the problem is not the presence of darkness. The problem is the absence of light. When common sense Americans don't just speak up because they're afraid of being, maybe their reputation might get smeared. Maybe you might get labeled as a hater or a bigot. You know, we have to, unfortunately, wear those labels as a badge of honor at this point. And but the thing is if we don't stand right now, we have the freedom of speech in America. We have the freedom of religion in America. And contrary to what the narrative has created the freedom of religion to be, which would be the license to discriminate, which is absolute nonsense, contrary to the narrative that's been shaped, it's up to us to speak. Because our freedom of speech, when we speak the truth, that's when people get set free. So we have to flip the light on, and we've got to do it now. Because it's in short order, we're going to lose our rights.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. David and Jason Benham join us. We're talking about a decision today by the NCAA to pull seven championship games of various sports previously awarded to the Tar Heel State out of the state simply because the state has a policy that most other states have, and that is the state does not force a private entity or business to have a bathroom policy that would allow men to go into women's and vice versa, or showers or locker rooms or whatever. This is all about the left using this extortion to force their unpopular lack of, it's dangerous policy on America. All right, guys. So what are we hearing on the ground there in North Carolina to this? What are people saying?
Well, here's what we're hearing on the ground, and as we're speaking literally to thousands and thousands of people, they're saying, hey, keep up the fight. We're pushing for Governor McCrory and others. But the thing is, what Jason and I are saying is, guys, you've got to, everybody's got to speak up, especially this election. By Roy Cooper, who our attorney general here in North Carolina, who refuses and has refused to defend House Bill 2. So we actually had to hire outside counsel when the Obama administration sued North Carolina. Roy Cooper would not uphold his constitutional oath. Now he's running for governor. So Governor McCrory is running against this man. And the word on the street, at least the folks that we're talking to, is people are absolutely supporting the governor. But it's going to require everyone to stand up, to be a voice, to get to the polls, to make sure that Governor McCrory is elected again, and to send a message that, look, we don't buy into this sexual revolution. We're not going to bow to it. There were no problems before. There are no problems after. And as far as North Carolina's economy, we're one of the fastest growing states economically in the nation. Governor McCrory, we've seen 3.6% unemployment decrease in our state since he's taken office. We've had over 240,000 private sector jobs added to the workforce. Our economy is doing very well. So we don't buy into all of these speaking points that the radical sexual revolution is pushing on us, that our economy is hurting, because it's not. We need to get up and vote for this man.
This has nothing to do with bathrooms. It has all to do with power. The power to force people to submit and even to embrace this radical agenda. I mean, it's gone way beyond. This goes back, guys, to, remember we used to hear a few years ago about when there was this push to redefine marriage that, well, look, my same-sex marriage will never affect you. How would it affect you?
Yes.
Didn't we hear that?
Oh, we absolutely heard it. And here's what we say, is that the ceiling has become the floor in this revolution. The moral revolution ceiling, all of their goals that they want to achieve, once they achieve them, those goals become the floor and they establish a new ceiling. So it went from acceptance to appreciation to celebration and now to forced participation. They just said, just give us, that's all we want. Now it's an absolute, as a matter of fact, in Charlotte, that started this whole thing, the city council created this radical bathroom ordinance. It was to put a mandate on private business that they adhere to these bathroom policies. House Bill 2 simply said absolutely not, but the free market is free to establish whatever bathroom policies they choose. And so here, American Airlines and PayPal, they're screaming and yelling at our governor, but the governor and the General Assembly said, look, if you're so excited about this bathroom policy, then make one yourself. So Target did it. And you know what? We support Target's freedom to do that, but we also support the free market to hit Target's stock. They've dropped 7.2% in their stock. So the free market has spoken. And that's really the American way on how to deal with these things, as opposed to having forced government edicts over the top of us through these bills.
All right, guys, we got to leave it there. Up against a break. David and Jason Benham, thanks so much for joining us. Great job this weekend at the Values Voter Summit as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. You can go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over to the Values Voter Summit. You can actually see their message, widely watched, powerful message. All right. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation because there are some things you can do. So don't go away. There's more Washington Watch to come, and we're still going to take your phone calls a little bit later.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com. www.dailyvoiceandwashingtondc.com.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrined religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognized that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the Founding Fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. The website, as I said, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest, our topics. Also, as I mentioned, there's a link there to the video from the Benham Brothers at the Values Voter Summit this past weekend. Also, let me give you a phone number, all right? Get ready to write this down. I was talking to the governor, Pat McCrory. In fact, he was going to be on, but he was going to try to sandwich an interview in between a speaking event. He's actually in Boston speaking, and they called on him early. So I don't think we're going to get him this afternoon. We'll probably look getting him tomorrow. But the ACC is also looking at, they're threatening to move games out of North Carolina as well. So let me give you a phone number to their switchboard that you can call them and tell them to quit being a puppet for progressives and stop this foolishness in North Carolina. All right, here's the number. You ready to copy? 336-854-8787. 336-854-8787. That's the ACC. They, too, are discussing whether or not they should pull sporting events out of North Carolina. Of course, you know, from my perspective, I care less about these sporting events. I think these things are all way overrated. I think people, well, I don't want to get off on that. You don't want to know my views on sports. Also, today, Donald Trump unveiled a portion of his tax policy. In fact, we're going to be talking about this tomorrow. Marsha Blackburn, Congresswoman of Tennessee, is going to join us tomorrow to talk about this. But let me say, it was actually it's pretty good. Over the weekend at the Values Voter Summit, he talked about his educational tax credit, educational voucher system, I should say, that he wanted to give parents the right to choose education for their children. But he went further in that when he was talking about educational choice, to say that homeschooling would be included in that. I don't recall a Republican presidential candidate ever specifically identifying homeschooling as being a part of their programs of school choice. But then today, he announced a child care affordability plan. That was a part of his tax plan But what was significant about this is that it is the plan will ensure that stay-at-home parents receive the same tax deduction as working parents, offering compensation for the job they're already doing and allowing them to choose the child care scenario that is best for them and their child. So it's like in the past, even Republican tax policies have penalized parents for putting their children first. So anyway, very interesting, and we're going to talk more about that tomorrow when Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joins us. All right, let me give you that phone number again, 336-854-8787, 336-854-8787. That's to the ACC, who also is deciding whether or not they're going to pull sporting events out of North Carolina as the NCAA did. Yeah, it's just the hypocrisy here. This has nothing to do with the policies because most other states have the same policies. They don't force people to use the same restrooms. The states don't. They allow, you know, private entities want to do that and assume the liability that comes with it. Let them do it. Let them be like Target. You know, Target thought they were so smart. They jumped out there and they did it to back up President Obama. And wow, it's amazing what happened there. Started losing customers. Gee whiz. Started losing profits. Stock dropped. So what they want is they don't want, this is what big business is doing. First off, you got some of the big business in groups like the NCAA. Mark Emmert runs that. He's the president of it. They don't want to assume the responsibility of making that decision. They want to say, "Oh, we were forced by the government." So they want to they want government to force all these entities to do it. They want to be forced by the government to have to do this so that they don't assume the political and, you know, in some cases, legal liability because they can use that as a defense. The hypocrisy. It reeks of hypocrisy. Anyway, as David and Jason were talking about, this is the time to weigh in. These things happen because we are silent. Folks, if you're in North Carolina, and I know we've got stations throughout North Carolina, this is not a time to be silent. This is a time to be engaged, to be registered, to be informed, and to be voting. And I hope that you will make sure that your friends and family and neighbors know what's going on there in North Carolina and not allow the media's distortion of this issue, combined with the strong-arm tactics that the Human Rights Campaign, the big homosexual group, is using on businesses and on these sporting. And I don't feel sorry for the businesses. They're allowing themselves to be used, just as these, the NCAA and NBA and others. Look, this requires you speaking out. And folks, if you live elsewhere in the country, not in North Carolina, you too can be involved in this because it's going to affect you. Because if they force North Carolina to knuckle under and they manipulate the outcome of their political elections, don't think this will stay isolated in North Carolina. It's coming to a state near you. And plus, it'll have a domino effect upon some of these politicians who lack the courage that McCrory and Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest have to stand up against these guys. And guys like Phil Bryant in Mississippi, and there's others. There's other governors that are willing to stand up. But you got to stand with them when they stand up. Okay. When we come back, we're going to return to a topic that's remained in the media, and that was last Friday night, Hillary Clinton calling half of Donald Trump's supporters a basket of deplorables. Now, she's tried to apologize or walk it back, saying that she didn't mean half. Wow, what an apology. Ed Morrissey with Hot Air joins us after this break. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
NFIB, that is the National Federation for Independent Businesses and Small Businesses, their optimism index fell slightly, about 0.2 of a point. Now, keep in mind that the Small Business Index has been in negative territory since 2008. It has never come out of that. It has gotten better, but nonetheless, still remains in negative territory. When they do their survey of about 2,000 businesses, the outlook for business conditions over the next 6 months had the most change, dropping 7 points of the 10 things that they ask small businesses. They stated that political climate was the reason they had no intentions of expanding. In other words, the uncertainty in and around who is going to get elected is enough to keep them frozen in their tracks until after the election, and they get a better feel for what the climate might be like, whether it would be favorable or hurt them with possibly more regulatory burden and more disincentivizing to small businesses. Oil futures are getting clobbered this week and likely will continue to as the IEA, the International Energy Agency, comes out and says their forecast for 2017 is going to be a lot lower than expected, and they are cutting their forecast by 1.2 million barrels a day.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, Hillary Clinton isn't backing down from calling, well, now it's not half, it's somewhere less than half, of Donald Trump supporters a basket of deplorables. She issued a non-apology after she made the comment, but she only apologized for being imprecise in conveying just how many of Trump's supporters belong in that basket. Now, one columnist at the New York Times even went so far as to write, quote, Donald Trump is a deplorable candidate, to put it charitably, and anyone who helps him advance his racial, religious, and ethnic bigotry is a part of that bigotry, period. Anyone who elevates a sexist is part of that sexism. Anyone, the same goes for xenophobia. You can't conveniently separate yourself from the detestable part of him because you sense in him the promise of cultural and economic advantage. That hair cannot be split, end quote. Wow. New York Times, why don't you tell us how you really feel? So, but the same doesn't go for Hillary Clinton and her progressive policies. This is all about the left, as we've talked about. If you disagree with them, they must stigmatize you, marginalize you, and silence you. Joining me now to talk about this, Ed Morrissey with Hot Air. Ed, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, all right. How big of a deal is this? I mean, in today's 24/7 news cycle, stories like this usually don't hang on, but we're now into the third day where people are really scratching their head as to why she said something so offensive about so many people.
Well, here's what I believe. I believe that somebody came up with that basket of deplorables line. That doesn't sound like it was Hillary Clinton's line. She's not a terribly poetic candidate. She's not known for having great wit on the stump. She's more of a prosaic, down the middle, meat and potatoes type of speaker when she does speak. So my guess is that basket of deplorables was going to be like the message of the week. You know, this is something that the Clinton campaign did in 92 as well. You know, they'd come up with a message of the week, and they would hammer it, and then they would move to the next message of the week. So somebody came up with the basket of deplorables. And I believe she said it before, too. I believe she had said it a couple days earlier than one time where she said half of Trump supporters were in that basket. I think that was her trying to wing the basket of deplorables line and basically souring it now for further use. I don't know how much use they intended to make out of this, but the whole thing has devolved into this, well, just half or, you know, 25% or 13%. It's a silly thing to say because when you're running for office, you don't want to attack the voters. You want to attack the candidate. You don't want to turn off voters by attacking them personally, especially because for both of these candidates, I mean both of these candidates, a lot of people are voting for them because they just don't like the other option. And so it's not like people are, you know, 100% of Trump voters are you know, love Trump as an option, or 100% of Hillary's voters love Hillary as an option. They're voting mostly because, a good portion of them are voting against the other person rather than for the person they're voting for.
Well, to contrast Hillary's attack, as you point, not on the candidate, but the supporters of the candidate, notice how Donald Trump's kind of taken a different tact in that, you know, for instance, with liberal, maybe progressive, what you describe as progressive voters, those that supported Bernie Sanders, he's actually appealed to them and invited them to come over and be supportive of him.
Right. That's what you're supposed to do as a candidate, by the way. That's how you actually are supposed to try to win elections, is not by insulting the people who are inclined to vote for your opponent, but by trying to convince them that you're actually the better choice for them. And when you start off the conversation by saying, well, I think at least half of you were deplorable, well, there's not going to be a whole lot of conversation that goes on between her and non-Hillary voters from that point forward, because the assumption that most people are going to make is that she thinks everybody that isn't supporting her is deplorable for whatever reason. And it just doesn't wear well. It is really, there are few businesses that prosper by insulting their customers, their potential customers. There are very, very few of them. And there's a good reason for that. People don't want to go out of their way to support people who insult them. And so I'm a little surprised, but only a little surprised, that Hillary Clinton hasn't learned that yet. She's not a very good candidate. She's never been a very good candidate. And that's a mistake that is almost politics 101. You praise the voters, you attack the candidate.
But Ed Morrissey, we're almost up against a break here quickly. But is this, they're so set in the track of the left, this Saul Alinsky type of politics where they have to attack people who don't agree with them so that they can eventually silence them. Is that what this is about?
Well, if you want to engage in that, you don't do it with the candidate. You do it with the surrogates. I mean, that's something that the surrogates would be handling. The candidate, you want the candidate to have a positive image with voters. So if that's really what happened, if that's what their intention was, and I actually think it was just her fumbling the line, then I think that they have a very, very poor conception of what the candidate should be doing up there. The candidate should always remain positive. It's the surrogates that should be going on the attack, the James Carvilles back in 92, for instance,
right,
or some of the surrogates that are around today.
Well, it's a major fumble, and I think it's one that's going to haunt her for the rest of the campaign. Ed Morrissey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Ed Morrissey. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. He's with Hot Air. You can read his stuff on a daily basis. Again, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, when we come back, 866-372-7234. We're going to the phone lines, and we're going to continue our conversation from yesterday. What concerns you about Hillary Clinton's comment that says you're a deplorable?
Forget watching the presidential race. Come to Washington, D.C. and experience it. From September 9th through 11th, Donald Trump and other conservatives will be teaming up with FRC Action and thousands of Americans to bring real change to Washington. You can too. You'll be hearing from leading voices like Dr. James Dobson, John Voight, Bill Bennett, Phil Robertson, Alan West, Oliver North, FRC President Tony Perkins, and many more. If you're frustrated by how Washington's spending your money and undermining your values, this is the place to be. You'll learn how to transform your state on issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, judges, and radical Islam. Registration is only $119 for adults, and scholarships are available for students. The November elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. Tickets are going fast, so log on to valuesvotersummit.org today. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events warning us the end times are near? Explore 10 critical issues facing our world in Dr. David Jeremiah's upcoming book, People Are Asking, Is This the End? On sale worldwide October 4th. Pre-orders available now for a gift of any amount to Turning Point, which include exclusive pre-order bonus offers. Hurry, offer expires October 3rd. Pre-order your copy at davidjeremiah.org today.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation. Here's the question. Continuing it from yesterday, as we ran out of time talking about this, is what concerns you most about Hillary Clinton's comments calling half of Trump's... she clarified it wasn't half. Calling an unspecified number of Trump supporters a basket of deplorables. What concerns you most about that? All right, 866-372-7234. You know, again, I go back to, the strategies that the left engages in. I've mentioned this many times. If you've not read it, you should just read a copy of The Rules for Radicals. Because it is the playbook for the left, and it's about calling people names, not just any name, not like Fatso or, you know, Four Eyes. It's names that are designed to stigmatize you so that you are ostracized from society. Deplorables. You know, as I mentioned yesterday, that's a term that some of these countries that have given money to the Clinton Foundation, when they label somebody deplorables, they oftentimes incarcerate them, political prisoners. And in some cases, some of these countries actually execute. Wonder what she was thinking when she used that term deplorable. So what do you think? What concerns you most? Give me a call, 866-372-7234. And let's go to Arkansas, where Mac is on the line. Mac, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call, Tony. I kind of have to disagree with that last guy you had on. I don't think the candidates ought to be attacking anybody. They ought to be addressing the issues and trying to prove up why they would be the best candidate. And as far as the support folks, only thing I'd say is I consider the source, and I will deplorably go and vote against her.
All right, Mac, I appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. This should not surprise us okay? This should not surprise us that they engage in this demonizing of conservative, in particular Christians. Now, these comments came on the heels of Donald Trump speaking at our Values Voters Summit on Friday. And so this was an indirect reference to the Values Voters that she was making this comment about. As I said, this is not new. I mean, you go back in Scripture, and this is a tactic that is often used. Remember, they said Jesus was doing his work by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of devils, basically calling him a son of the devil, when in fact he was and is the Son of God. And so this is one of the things Jesus warned about his disciples in John. He said, you know, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And you just have to be prepared for it. He warned that this would occur. And they often will label Christians the exact opposite of what they are. For instance, they call Christians haters because they subscribe to biblical morality. Really? Christians hate people? That's why they help the homeless. They serve people who have diseases like AIDS. They feed the hungry. They shelter. They do all of these things. I mean, look at what's happened in my home state of Louisiana with this flood. Who's been rushing in to help? It's been Christians across the country. Really, they hate? They indiscriminately help everyone? See, it's the opposite. And folks, this is where you have a responsibility just to ignore and laugh at and embrace their labeling because they're lying. This is how deception works. All right, let's go to Rose in Missouri. Rose, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I am wondering, I understand that being called deplorable has probably been a lot worse said about us, and we know better, but why are we not concerned about Homeland Security intending to take over the election, which they can rig any way they want to? What can be done about that?
Well, we talked about that, and I've been talking to some members of Congress. We talked about that last week. We had, I'm not sure who we had, maybe Louie Gohmert. I'm not sure who we had on talking about that. And what you're making reference to is Jay Johnson, who is the Secretary of Homeland Security, discussed in a newsmaker's breakfast at the Christian Science Monitor, an event that I've spoken at a number of times, and it's just kind of a freewheeling conversation. And he made the comment that there are these 16 sectors that Homeland Security has jurisdiction over. And so he said, you know what, our election system throughout the country should be, we may need to consider making that one of these critical sectors that we have to have control over. Now, I have talked to members of Congress about that, and they are looking into it. One of the ways is in the current funding bill, which we may talk about tomorrow, the short-term CR, which is a bad idea. But anyway, they were talking about maybe putting some restrictions on that. There's not a lot of concern they're going to do it in this election. There's not enough time because you've got about 9,000 different election jurisdictions in the country, and so they just wouldn't be time for them to take that over. However, I do believe it was a trial balloon, and if they do not get resistance, they will move in that direction. So it is something certainly to begin watching and talking to members of Congress on. But these guys are constantly doing something to violate the Constitution. It's just what they do. Thanks, Rose. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Illinois, where Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch. Michael, you there?
I'm here. Hello?
All right, go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. You pretty much stated what I was thinking, you know, like about the executions eventually, you know, with the Christians and all that over here, you know, if Hillary and, you know, the left pretty much has their way long enough to, you know, pretty much just eradicate religion altogether.
And well, it's a problem for them. They don't want religion. That's why this administration has been so aggressive in attacking religious freedom. It's why we talked about this yesterday, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights attacking religious freedom. They want to quarantine it within the four walls of the church or between your two ears. They don't want you to actually be able to live according to your beliefs because it's a problem for them. It challenges government. God challenges government. People who rely on God do not rely on government. And they also are concerned that, and this is why we're seeing religious freedom attack so much today, is because those who obey God might not obey unconstitutional, immoral laws of government. Now, if the laws of government are in line with nature and nature's God, then those who believe in God and His word will be the first to obey and the most reliable and the best citizens. But what they're afraid of is they don't want people to have an allegiance to God rather than big government. That's why they're so adamant against religion in the public square.
So I had one quick comment because I've kind of wondered that I've noticed that people kind of seem to avoid it, and I know you're not trying, you know, you're supposed to, like, judge a person's thoughts, but, you know, you can judge them by their actions, and I was wondering, the way Obama, you know, pretty much appears to have lied about basically being a Christian, I would figure, like, you know, Muhammad said, it's okay to deny your religion to infiltrate the enemy. I mean, pretty much, wouldn't he be being pretty much a great Muslim at what he's trying to do, throw the country in disarray, move as many in as he can, basically to kind of, in my mind, to pretty much try to eventually overthrow the United States and make it an Islamic state?
Well, I mean, that could certainly be the outcome. I think the motivation, I don't know. I do know, as you said, the actions, and we see that the president, is, and we talked about this last week, how he, despite the fact that Congress has repeatedly stated, the House voted overwhelmingly in a bipartisan way to say stop the influx of Syrian refugees because the system is not vetting them and there are legitimate concerns that terrorists have infiltrated those who are coming in and it's a national security issue, but yet he continues to move forward trying to get 10,000 in by the end of this fiscal year. And that's on top of everything else he's done. And it's interesting where these folks are being placed. Now, understand that they get a green card and within 3 years can become citizens and vote. And they're putting them in, oftentimes, in red states. Is there a political motive here? Oh, I don't know. Looks kind of funny. May very well be. Michael, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. All right, let's go to Oklahoma and let's talk to Therese about that basket of deplorables. Therese, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, it's Teresa.
All right, Teresa. Sorry about that.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, when people have to lower themselves and result to name calling, what ground do they think they're going to get? You know, I work from home myself, and so between doing my errands back and forth and answering messages and all, I would sometimes get on Facebook, and I have seen so much. You know, a lot of times I don't even entertain to look at it or go into it because I just feel like, well, it's one side throwing stones to the other side, you know, but really, as Christians, if we would just get on our knees, first and foremost, ask God to forgive us for falling away and turning away from Him. This nation, no wonder we're in the mess we're in right now. You know, when so many Christians bowed out of, you know, which is water under the bridge as far as I think of it. You know, it's that was the past. Now we're talking the present and the future. And I just really feel like if everyone who calls himself a Christian and honors the one true God, if they would just get on their knees first and ask God to forgive them, and then ask for direction and open their eyes and open their ears. Look at what, number one party has done for so many years against people, and what that party is doing now. That's what I'm talking about, the Democrats. I'll just throw it out there. What they're doing now, what they've been doing, and what they do now, and what they consider to do from the point on, if, Lord forbid, Hillary should get in, then, I mean, what I always do is when I talk to people about this, I go back to the Bible and go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God do to them? You know, when they were so blatantly sinning against God and against man, hey, God took them out. That's all there is to it.
You know, it's interesting, Teresa, because we have a lot of Christians that will say, well, you know, God's in control. You know, we're just going to, God's in control. He's sovereign. Well, no one has questioned God's standing. I mean, God was in control, as you point out, Sodom and Gomorrah. But he gives us a free will. And we are held accountable. Sometimes, you know, God intervenes and brings about chastisement, sometimes judgment. There are also natural consequences for choices we make that are contrary to God's design for human beings. But in, as you pointed out, I agree with you, Teresa, 100%, that we need to spend time on our knees. In fact, we need to watch less TV, listen to less radio. Yes, I'm saying that right here. And prioritize our time to spend time in prayer and reading the Bible and responding the way God would have us to respond. But the point is, we have a responsibility. As you said, God has given us intellect. He's given us reason. And we should be able to look and see, as you have pointed out, past performances of certain parties and people, platforms, and where they lead, and whether or not they're in alignment or closer alignment with biblical truth and natural law. And we are accountable for then making decisions based upon truth. Teresa, thanks so much for the call. Folks, out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us. Folks, sorry I didn't get to all the calls, but Lord willing, they'll be tomorrow. And I hope you'll join us as we continue our conversation. Also, remember, tomorrow we're going to have Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn join us to talk about the Trump tax policy regarding child care. Pretty innovative, if you ask me. All right, anyway, until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.